All of us have our favorite weapons. Now, this is called a machete. And I've never used it on anybody, so let me just clarify and state that. I've never used this on a human being. But while hiking, climbing, in brush, machete is perfect for what? You chop down some trees, some little branches, you know, swing it around and have fun. But I'm pretty sure there's probably been a person on our planet who probably has used a machete as a weapon. Also, when you think about hiking, little hiking stick. And hiking stick, you know, kind of helps steady the climb. If you're going to climb uphill, if you're climbing downhill, kind of helps steady the body. This is not made to be a weapon, but I'm pretty sure this morning that even hiking sticks have been used as weapons. Also brought a pellet gun this morning. Now, pellet gun, you know, shooting targets, having fun, right? Playing with the kids. Again, I've never shot anybody, a person with this, just so you know, and it's just a pellet gun. Could hurt, could leave a mark. But I'm sure even as pellet guns, you know, made for clean fun, shooting little targets, maybe a lizard now once in a while, I'm sure that someone has probably even used a pellet gun or a gun as a weapon before. How many of us have favorite weapons that we have in our house? There are people who store guns all over the place. They hide them. They store them. There are things, hammers, screwdrivers. There's so many different tools around our house anybody will use as a weapon if need be. Weapons stated maybe to protect ourselves. Typically, people, we shouldn't use a weapon to just go after someone. Right? A weapon may be used, self-defense, to protect ourselves, to protect our families. A weapon is something as like an offensive force that you would use to hurt somebody, to go after something. But this morning, instead of just thinking of weapons that we can see, I want us to think before we get into our text this morning of weapons that we don't see, but yet we still use them, and they are just as harmful and just as destructive as if I was to swing and hit somebody with this. Yes, it would hurt. It could leave a mark. But unfortunately this morning, what is more dangerous than even a sword, even a machete, than even a gun, is the weapons that we use every single day. The damage and the destruction that we use of weapons that are not seen are hurting way more people than these things that are described here this morning. So with that, we jump into our text, 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 1. The Philistines mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko and Judah and Azekah at something. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the Valley of Elah. The Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on the opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, turn your neighbor and say, then Goliath, that lovely gentleman, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet. His bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor. He carried a bronze javelin on his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you coming out to fight? He called. Am I the Philistine champion? But you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slave. I defy the army of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified. They were deeply shaken. Verse 14, David was the youngest son. David's three oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. We're going to skip down to verse 25. Have you seen the giant? The men ask. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife. The man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Verse 27. These men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, this is the reward for killing him. When David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard that David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride, your deceit. You just wanted to see the battle. Verse 32. David goes to the king and he says, don't worry about this Philistine. He told Saul, I will go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way that you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I will go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and he took a step or two to see what it was like, for he'd never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm not used to them. So David took them off again. Verse 40, so David picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream. He put them into a shepherd's bag. Armed only with a shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in content at this ruddy look of this little ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the name of his gods. Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, spear, javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. David ran over and he pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and they ran. So this morning, this week, as I was praying what to do, God put the story on my heart. And hopefully this morning there's some things. It's a very popular story that we've heard a few times. But lean in this morning. Allow God to speak something new into your heart from this story. You know, there's an army, there's a king who saw a man who was challenged, and they all ran away out of fear and hid because of one man who was over 9 feet tall. Armies, most commonly, they would say, listen, instead of spending extra money, we want to go to war, we want to fight, but instead of the whole armies fighting each other, let's just send out our best. Let's send out the best of the best. And so that's what they did. The Philistines sent out a man named Goliath. They sent out this man, but there was no one, not one man in Israel who wanted to fight, not one person who wanted to face Goliath. And I wonder this morning, Is there anything that we have faced in the past, anything that we're facing today, that maybe we really don't want to deal with? Is there anything that we have right in front of us? Is there anything that's been right there behind us that we've avoided, that we've pushed to the side because we say it's just too big? No way. I don't want to deal with this right now. I don't want to deal with this right now. I can't. No way. It's too big. It's too hard. This is way too difficult. Goliath taunted, he teased, he made fun of the entire army, and it says everyone retreated in fear. Do we understand this morning how bad fear is? We've talked about fear a number of times, multiple different ways. But do we understand honestly how bad fear is for these bodies? Many of us in here, I think we would prefer to live a good long life. I think every one of us in here, we would want to live a good, happy, full, satisfying life. There are many enemies. There are many enemies out there that destroy these beautiful, wonderful bodies that God has given to us. Fear is one of the biggest things that destroys these bodies. Fear leads to anxiety. Fear leads to serious disorders. Fear leads and will cause harmful flashbacks. Fear will cause people to disconnect from themselves. Fear causes us to feel helpless. Fear causes people to have obsessive thoughts. Fear causes us to act in a way to harm other people. Fear impairs judgment and decision making. Fear will cause people to lead their emotions out of control. Fear makes it hard to think clearly, causes impulsive reactions, distorts thoughts. Fear is so damaging. And in our young life this morning, I wonder how many of us have dealt with fear in one way or another. The start of our text comes from a man, Goliath, who inspired, who put fear into a whole entire army because every man was afraid to face this guy. And I wonder this morning, what are we afraid to face? What are the things in our life that we are afraid to face head on? One man, he was tall, 9 feet tall. He was big. Our second character in the story we want to talk about, Eliab, is David's oldest brother. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't we love our older brothers? Eliab in this story, he sees his younger brother and he says, what are you doing here? Why are you not doing your little job? You're supposed to be watching your sheep. I know your pride. I know your deceit. What are you doing here, David? Eliab had a little challenge in life. See, there was a prophet who came to his house the chapter before named Samuel. And Samuel came to their house because God said, I'm tired of Saul as king. I'm going to anoint a new king. And so as they get to the house, all these boys walk out, and they're strapping young lads, and they're handsome, and they're buff. Samuel even sees this guy here, and he says, God, this has got to be the guy. He looks like he's going to be a great king. He's tall, he's strong, he's handsome, he's fit, all these things. And God says to Samuel, yeah, you know, he says, men judges by the outer appearance, but I look at the heart, and this will not be the next king. And so one by one, a number of sons come through and they stand before the prophet. And the prophet says, sorry, you're not the one I'm here for. And so Samuel finally says, listen, is there any other boys? They said, yeah, there's one more. He's out tending sheep, little young lad. He said, bring him here. And as he sees David, God says, that's the one. This is the young man who's got a heart for me. And so young David was anointed to be the next king over Israel. And so I'm pretty sure the older brother harbored some bitter feelings towards the younger brother because the younger brother was picked to be the next king. Sometimes in life, it's easy to recognize, and I think it's sometimes in life, many of us have been in this position where there's something somebody else is getting or going to get that we don't have, and it causes us to be jealous. How many of us have ever been in a position where we're jealous of another person, jealous of another man, jealous of someone else because they have something that I want but I do not have? They have something that I don't have. This man was jealous because his younger brother was going to be anointed the next king of Israel. Jealousy is another word that, like fear, does so much damage to our bodies. Proverbs 14:30, peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is cancer in the bones. And so we started our text, and we're describing all the characters that are in our text this morning. The first one we saw was a man who inspired fear, and we talked about how damaging fear is. Then we brought up the second character, Eliab, who... this man, what was he? He was jealous. Jealous. Jealousy. This morning, just as bad as fear. And what is it like described in Proverbs? Cancer in our bones. Have you ever been jealous about someone, something before? Has there ever been anything that you desired that you didn't get and you're mad? You're jealous. Family. Friends, co-workers, jealous. Jealousy is a killer. James 4:2, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. Jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight, you wage war to try and take it from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even if you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong, because you're only wanting what will give you pleasure. James 3:15, jealousy and selfishness are not God's kinds of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Jealousy, selfishness are not God's kinds of wisdom. Such things are earthly, spiritual, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy, selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and evil of every kind. We had a man who inspired fear. We had a man who's consumed with jealousy. Two of the most dangerous things. And if jealousy, the writer of Proverbs says, is like cancer in our bones, I wonder how many people do we know in our world who has cancer today? What if dangerous emotions help lead to cancer? Proverbs says, jealousy is like cancer in the bones. And how many of us have dealt with negative emotions in our lifetime? How many of us have gone through hard things in our past? And our hard things in our past has inspired anger and bitterness. There's things that maybe we felt as a kid we just didn't have, we didn't get because of this. And so how many of us maybe unfortunately have still dealing with negative emotions? And what if these negative emotions, like the writer of Proverbs says, it's like cancer in your bones? How many of us, there's a lot of stickers that say F cancer, right? Because it's horrible. This thing kills people, right? But what if we truly knew what causes cancer? What if it was our own negative emotions that we don't want to let go of that is damaging and killing ourselves? David, he hears all that's going on, and so he comes to the king, and he says, listen, king, I want to go and fight this guy. I want to go fight the giant. This was a young boy. We know that he was young because when the giant saw him, what did he say? He described him as a reddish-looking little boy. So we know that he had a very innocent, young look about this man and this boy. And so he comes to the king, and he says, I want to go fight the giant. Interestingly enough, the king Saul at the time, he was the very first king of Israel. He was the tallest man in Israel. King Saul was the tallest man in Israel. And so as the battle unfolded, and as they decided we should do one-on-one battle, it was going to be the tallest, toughest guy against the army's next what? Tallest, toughest guy. So who did the Israelites have that should have been their tallest, toughest guy? It was the king. But the king was what? He was hiding because he didn't want to come out. And he didn't want to fight. He was the tallest. He was the toughest. And he did great things before that in his life. But he was looking at this young boy, and he's like, this young boy wants to go out and do what I'm supposed to do? Heck no. So he says, there's no way. David goes, listen, I'm a shepherd. I'm a little boy, but I'm a shepherd. If there's a lion or bear that tries to take the lamb, man, I club it to death. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine being, you know, a young boy. Josh, why don't you stand up real quick? Imagine being Josh He's 15 years old, saying, you know what? I've killed lions. I've killed bears. And I'm going to take down that 9-foot-tall giant, right? Yeah, that's right. Thank you. How many of us can imagine being 15 and facing a lion or a bear and be able to make the statement, I faced it and I killed it? A lion and a bear. I wouldn't want to face either, right? Bears, massive, furry, fluffy things. A lion, the king of the jungle. And for this young boy, he said, if any time a lion or bear came to attack, I would grab it and I would club it to death. How did this young boy in this story have absolutely no fear in his life? How is it that this young boy, at a very young age, he was not afraid to face even a lion or a bear? Take a step back for a second. The value that he saw in his job, the value in which he was protecting, to him was far greater than his own life. The value of a lamb, even though a lamb is not that valuable to most people, the value to him was way more valuable than even his own life. And he would put his life on the line because he saw value in which he protected. Many of us this morning, it's so easy to lose the sight and the value of the things that are truly valuable in life. Many of us, we stop protecting the things that truly matter because we lost the sight of the value of what we have right here in front of us. Families, kids, lovely dogs, of course. Many of us this morning have people that are close, that live with us, that are around us, that some of us we ignore, that some of us we just don't protect, we don't care, because we lose the value. David was able to see the value in what he protected. And so if a lion or a bear came by, he didn't care. He was ready to give up his own life, protect that which he valued. Secondly, David knew that he had someone on his side that was bigger, that was more powerful than anything, that God himself was helping him. David used to sit out at night as he's watching the sheep, the lamb. As he's sitting there, he'd play a harp, he'd play an instrument, and he'd worship God. He wrote many songs in which we have in the Bible, in the book of Psalms. David was a musician. He was this mighty warrior musician who would sit there and he would play and he would create songs and he would worship God. He'd look at the stars and be like, oh my gosh, God, you're so amazing. Look at all these stars. God, I don't even know how you love me. You're so mighty. You're so powerful. You're the creator of the earth. You're creator of the stars. You spoke all this into existence, and yet you even care about me. David, as he'd sit there, he thought about God, he prayed and he talked to God, and he learned to trust in God. And so he was not afraid of even a lion, even a bear. And in his heart, he was ready to face anything because he knew God was with him. And so he says to the king, King, I'm ready. I'm going to go take down this giant. The king agrees and he says, okay, but you got to put on your armor. You got to put on my armor. And so the king takes his armor. The battle that he's supposed to fight, the king takes his armor, the battle and the fight that he's supposed to fight, and he gives it to little David, and little David tries it on, but he's walking around and it's clumpy, and he's like, I can't use these things. How many of us have ever felt like sometimes in life when we're around certain individuals, they take the things that they're going through like a cloth, like a blanket, like a coat, and they always put it on us? How many of us have ever been around people, and as soon as we're around them, no matter what they're going through, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what tough situation they're facing, maybe they're in sin, and maybe they're doing things that are inappropriate, but sometimes certain people, we get around them, kind of like the king, he was afraid to fight, and so he took his own armor, which he was supposed to use, and he tried to put it on David. Sometimes we are around people that they take the things in life that they're going through, and like clothing, they try to put it on other people. Have you ever been around someone, and maybe you were having a good day, but next thing you know, you're just deeply afraid, you're scared. You ever been around somebody, and then all of a sudden you just start having bad thoughts about doing something, like grabbing a machete and chopping off a leg or something? Not any of us in here. I don't know if we understand sometimes the people that we hang around. There's things happening in the spirit that we don't see, and they try to put other things onto us which are not healthy and right. David was a little shepherd boy, and he didn't need to be clothed with someone else's armor. He had enough what was inside of him. We don't really see the value of what has already been given to us. God values you. God values you. God values you and what he has given to you and what he's already placed inside of you. The things that he has made you, in your mind, your heart, your thoughts, every single thing. God likes you. God likes you. God loves you. God cares about you. God died for you because he likes every single thing about you. For some reason, sometimes as humans, there's many people who are not happy with themselves. So they constantly change their looks, got to constantly change the fads, got to constantly do what everyone else is doing because they're not happy within themselves. If we're just to stop and realize how much we're valued from the creator of the world, that he loves us, that he cares about us, he has a plan for us. He wants to bless me. God wants to bless me. God wants to do great things in my life. God wants to use me to make a difference. God wants to use me to help people, not hurt people. There's so many things over and over again. If we would just stop and see the value in which God sees in us, we don't need to borrow other people's belongings. We don't need to do what everyone else is doing. We just need to be who God made me, you, us to be. You are enough. You're enough because God made you enough. You are absolutely enough. David says to Saul, I don't need your armor. I've got every single thing that I need. So David goes and he picks up five smooth stones. Turn to your neighbor and say, five smooth stones. Now it's been said, Goliath had four of the brothers, and so he grabbed five stones because he had four of the brothers. Maybe five was just the number he always put in his pouch. Maybe he grabbed five rocks because five was the number that he always put in the pouch, and so he grabbed what he always grabbed. So it could have been for the giants, could have been for the brothers, or maybe it was just for himself. Maybe it was, I'm going to take down Goliath, and I'm going to go after four more guys, and I'm going to take them down. But either way you think about it, he had five rocks. Now, this morning was talking about weapons, and we could say yes, machetes really weren't created as a weapon, but it could be used as a weapon, correct? This could be used to hurt somebody. Rocks really weren't put on our planet for hurting people, but how many of us have taken a rock and hurt somebody by throwing a rock? Maybe accidentally, right, or on purpose. Shoot, in the day of the Bible, they would take large stones and they would throw it at somebody until they died. Rocks could be used as a weapon. It was used in this story as a weapon as the boy put it in his sling, and as he swung it around, and as he let it go, we know that one little stone hit the giant in the head and the guy fell down, right? But let's take it and think of something a little bit different this morning. Just instead of five smooth stones, five rocks. There are five things. Let's say we know that there's good and evil, correct? We all know that there's good and there's evil. So let's say there's five things that we deal with that are not healthy for us. We mentioned two this morning, fear and jealousy. And I'm pretty sure this morning every one of us has dealt with fear and jealousy in some shape or fashion. Insecurity, anger. We could go on and on and on, but let's just say five things that we've learned maybe to deal with, or maybe we're still dealing with today. Five things that are like a weapon. They're damaging me. They're damaging the people in my life. But what about on the other side of the token? Instead of using a rock as a weapon, do we ever see things? See, we always see it one way or the other, right? You either see heads or you see tails. You see good or you see evil in people. But what are the five things that maybe God is asking us to fight with spiritually? What are five things that God is saying, this is what I want you to pick up. This is what I want you to grab. This is how I want you to fight. I don't want you to take the sword. I don't want you to take the machete. This is what I want you to pick up. This is what I want you to use. If we were to think in spiritual sense this morning, one of the number one things that God is saying, this is how you fight. Number one, our first rock, faith and trust in God alone. All through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, men and women who did great things, it started by what? Having faith and trust in God alone. That there's a higher power. If you were to Google what faith is, it's a complete trust and belief in a higher power to rely on God's promises, to rely on God's grace. Even when things are silent, even when things go unseen, I'm aligning my actions to the will of God. Faith in God is a deep personal conviction to fully rely on God. One of the greatest weapons we can use in life, it's not our guns, it's not our swords, it's not our machetes, it's not our sticks. One of the greatest things we can do today is make sure I have faith in God. That my faith in God, my trust, my reliance, my will to follow after him, it speaks louder to the people in my life than anything. Our second rock this morning to take is hope. If you're to Google hope, hope is a deep, unwavering trust, confidence in God's promises, God's faithfulness. No matter what we face, God will take care of me. One of the most important weapons, I think, today as a Christian is this little word, four little letters, called love. Love is today probably the most powerful weapon ever. We know that it starts with faith. Everything in life starts with faith. But love is so powerful. 1 Corinthians 13, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, even sacrificed my body, could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. I would have gained nothing. Love never gives up. Never lose faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every single circumstances. We all this morning, whether we realize it or not, we're warriors just like David was in this story. We absolutely are a warrior in every aspect of life. We get up and we fight through the day. We fight through moments. We fight through situations. Yes, sometimes we fight with people. Yes, we like to argue with people sometimes. But spiritually, every single one of us is a warrior that are facing battles at every moment of the day sometimes. And the most important thing that we can ask ourselves, how am I fighting and what am I fighting with? How am I fighting and what am I fighting with? What am I using as my tools to battle everyday life? What am I using to make a difference? What am I using to go out there and to change the world? What are the things in my tool belt that I collect, that I have, that I've worked through, so that I'm making a difference, what God's put me here to do? Love is the greatest and most powerful weapon. God is love. God is said to have a relentless love towards every one of us. It says that God would leave 99 sheep to go after that one. God loves us. God loves us so much that he would be willing to come to the earth, to become a man, to be crucified, to become an offering for our sin. God loves us so much that he gave his life. We take a step back this morning. See, love is meant to be unselfish. Love is meant to be a center of focus where it's not my needs, it's your needs. Love is not concerned with what I'm getting, but love is focused on what I'm giving. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. He gave. God so loved that he gave. And this morning, one of the most important things that we can do over and over and over again is love, 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 over, over, and over again. My fourth rock is service. Jesus said, I didn't come, the Son of God, God himself, to be served. He said, I came to serve people. I didn't come so that you would bow down, so that you would worship me. I came to serve people. Service, one of the greatest acts that we can do as people. If God, our Creator, Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, said, I didn't come to be served by people. I came to serve. He said, who is going to be the greatest? The last and the servant. God's put us here to be servants, to serve one another, to give without thought of repayment. God has put us here as he was here to teach us, to follow the example. The greatest thing that we can do is step in and serve and meet the needs of people, to be a servant, to truly get down on our hands and knees sometimes, to whatever it takes. Last week we had someone pull a rat out of the toilet in church last week. There was a rat in the toilet. Someone, most of us would say, H-E-L-L, no, right? But there was a young man who went in there, grabbed a rat out of the toilet. That was being a servant, right? That's what God's put us here to do every single day, whether it's in church, out of church. He's put us here as he did while he was here to what? To be a servant. My last word, my last rock is to give. Giving, see, giving does something that fights within ourselves. Because how many of us know in our nature is not to just have open hands and give everywhere we go. It's to hold, right? How many of us have garages? How many of us have storage units full of stuff? How many of us in our houses, in our extra living areas, have so many extra things that we probably will never get to? That we're probably never going to use, right? We have, for some reason, in our nature, all of us, we get controlled by stuff. Stuff starts to control us. Well, I got to keep that. I might need it for a rainy day, even though that rainy day never comes. We have rain, but not that kind of rainy day. Giving of what we have with our stuff and our money, it breaks the mold of control. And all of us deal with control issues. All of us in here this morning, we all deal with control issues where we're trying to control sometimes things, sometimes people. If you have kids, absolutely like to control our kids. All of us can deal with control issues. And the number one thing that we can do to break the mold of control is be a giving person. I could save this, I could put it in my garage, and it could get dusty and rusty. And 30 years down from now, someone, when I pass away, will either sell it or trash it. Or maybe I could take it and give it to somebody who needs it right now. Giving breaks the mold of control. David had five rocks. He only needed one, but he had five. If we were to look at good and evil, could there be five minimum things that we deal with on a daily basis that aren't healthy for us? Some of us in here this morning, do we still have fear and jealousy? Do we still have anger? Do any of us have insecurity? We're just not self, we're not sure about ourselves. On the other side, you see, whatever side you're on, it's a weapon. Fear becomes a weapon. Anger becomes a weapon. Insecurity becomes a weapon because the negative emotions, what do we do with the negative emotions? We use them to lash out, to manipulate, and control other people. Fear, all the negative emotions that are bad for us, we use them to manipulate and control other people. But on the other side, there's love, there's hope, there's faith, there's trust in God. These weapons, they change the world. They help. They heal. They bring freedom. And so it's what side do we find ourselves on more? Dealing and fighting with the negative emotions that are inside, or on the side that is bringing peace and freedom and hope to other people? Goliath in the story kind of underestimated the little boy. He's smaller. There's no way that this little boy can take me. He's less important. He couldn't understand by looking at this little boy that he was a danger or that he could even get close to taking his life. Goliath underestimated. He didn't see the value in that little boy. There's a lot of little kids that travel through our world that we underestimate as well. You know, kids sometimes can say the darndest things. Kids sometimes can be the next great brain surgeon. Kids sometimes, young kids, teenagers, sometimes we underestimate them and we don't put enough value on what they already know. A young kid, if he can beat a lion, a bear, and take down a 9-foot-tall giant, how many people in his life underestimated him for years? He's just a small little ruddy boy. He's got a red face. He's a little on the dark side. How many people underestimated David for years? Even though he killed a lion, even though he killed a bear. And how many of us today are underestimating and undervaluing people that God's put in our life? How many of us still have people every single day that we underestimate and we do not value enough the people that God has in our lives? Goliath underestimated a little boy, and what happened? He paid for it. If we don't value and underestimate the people in our life, we're going to pay for it too. We will. Every single time we pay for not valuing enough the people that God puts in our life. I love how Goliath, as he comes towards David, he's yelling at him. He's laughing. He's cursing. Am I a dog? And he's saying all kinds of things. He says, I'm going to kill you and feed you to the birds. I'm going to take my sword and I'm going to chop you down. How does David reply? Hey, you come at me. You got a nice big sword. But you know what I'm going to fight you with? I'm coming to you with simply just the name of my God. That's all I got. That's all I got. All I got is I'm coming at you with the name and the fight of my God. Goliath had a sword. He had a spear. He had a javelin. These were his weapons. What was David's weapon? My God. My God. Who won the battle? David. What weapons were greater? So the weapons that we can see, the weapons that we have, the weapons that we store in our house, because just in case we get broken into, I need a gun. What weapon was greater in this fight? It wasn't the weapons that Goliath had, even though it was bigger, longer, sharper. There was only one weapon that was needed, and David said, it's my God. And we talked about valuing people. But I wonder this morning, are we putting enough value in our God to know if I fully trust and rely on him, man, there's nothing I have to be afraid of. There is nothing that should bring me down, nothing that should get me angry, because my God, he's for me. And if God is for me, no one can be against me. There was one boy. There was one rock. There was one slingshot. And it only took one. It only took one. It only takes you this morning. It only takes me. It only takes one of us. I'm just not going to do it like this anymore. The song that we opened with this morning, Goodbye Yesterday. There's a lot of things that we need to say goodbye yesterday to. There's so many things in our life that we need to say goodbye yesterday. I don't need you anymore, fear. I don't need you anymore, jealousy. I don't need you anymore, anger. I don't need you anymore, insecurity. I don't need you because you are destroying my life. All I need is God. God first. whatever I'm going through, whatever happens in front of me, all I know is it just takes one. God helped a little boy. God can help me. And so this morning, as we start to wrap up this morning, we get ready to close and pray. Through our text today, there's a few things I think that stuck out to me, and I hope they stuck out to you as well. Understanding that our words, they're all weapons. All of our words, they're all weapons. And they're either rocks that we're chucking at people, we're taking our words and they're becoming rocks and they're damaging other people, or we're bringing life. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue brings death or life. There was a man in the story named Goliath. He was big. He was tough. He shouldn't have had to say anything. He shouldn't have had to taunt people. He probably didn't even make fun of people. Everyone was should have been just look at the guy and got scared automatically. But he still used his words in such a way that he talked down to every single person. Have we ever talked down to another individual before? Why aren't you getting this? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you being dumb? Why are you being stupid? Why are you like this? Why? Goliath used his words, and he was trying to use his physicality as a weapon. Many of us in here this morning understand your words are weapons, and you're bringing life or you're bringing death. You're encouraging or you're damaging. It's one or the other. You're hurting or you're healing. Proverbs 13:3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. There was a story of a man named Eliab in the story who was a jealous man. And so he had this pattern of jealousy. And so every single time he had the chance, he lashed out on his younger brother because he was jealous. Most of it in here, sometimes it's not family jealousy, but it's life jealousy. Coworkers were jealous of things that we're seeing on social media that people are doing that we want to do. And I wish I was there, and I wish I could do this, and I wish I could be that, and I wish I could be this person, and I wish I had that kind of money, and I wish I had those kind of clothes, and I wish I had that car, and I wish I had this, and I wish I had that. There's so many things in our world that we see, and how many of us, we get so jealous sometimes, not realize it's a danger pattern. It's such a dangerous pattern to be jealous of constantly watching people and what they have. What you have, it's more than enough. And if you deal with jealousy, stop letting it run your life. God was for David. And remind ourselves, remind me, remind you, God is for me too. I've given my life to God. I've asked God to come into my life. And so God is for me. Romans 8:31, what shall we say? Such wonderful things as these. God's for me. Who can be against me? God is for you this morning. Remind yourself of that every single day. Everywhere you go, everything that you face, God is for me. And everything I'm going to face today, I'm going to come at it like David, with the name of my God. I'm going to use God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek God. No matter what I face, I'm not going to call my friend first. I'm not going to go on social media first. I'm not going to call this family member. I'm not going to call anything. The very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to God and say, God, here's the deal. Here's the situation. God, help me. My last closing verse, and we pray. Mark 11:22. Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown in the sea, and it'll happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive someone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. God wants you to be a mountain mover. He wants you to be a giant slayer. He wants you to do great things. He wants you to accomplish and do amazing things for the town, for the family that you're a part of, everywhere we go, in everything that we do. As they did it then, God is asking us to stand up and step up today to do great things for him. At every turn, David didn't say, I'm going to kill you so that I can get the glory. Yeah, he got a wife out of it. Yes, his family was exempt from taxes, which is hallelujah, right? But at every step of the way, David, what did he say? I'm doing this for God. It was always coming back. I do it for God. I'm not doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for my family. I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for God. And because he had the heart after God, I do and follow after God. God used him to do great things. And if we would maybe just set aside maybe five stones in our life that aren't healthy, that aren't good for us, and it could even be friends, and it could even be coworkers that we're socializing a little too much with. There's things, could be five things negatively impacting greatness inside of us. Let God bring out the great things. Choose to focus not on five negative things, but focus on the five weapons that make the biggest difference. Faith, hope, love, service, and giving. Let God empower you to do the great things he's placed you here to do today. Let's pray.